We're going to come to the Word of God now. We'd like to look this morning at Psalm 27, and I must say that it's amazing how the Lord confirms His Word to our hearts before we even get up and speak sometimes. And that psalm that Esme, you shared earlier, fits in very much with what I want to speak about this morning, and the verses of that hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, that you read out also speaks of that. So we're going to look at Psalm 27, but let's bring this before the Lord and let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that your word is truth, that with so many things that fly around this world, Lord, which claim to be truth, it is not truth. And we thank you that you are the way of the truth and the life. And Lord, as we come to your word this morning, we pray that you'll speak to our hearts, that we may meditate upon what you will say to our hearts, and that, Lord, we may be doers of the word. Lord, we come to you because you're worthy of everything, worthy of all praise and adoration. And so, Lord, as we come to this psalm, may be your words, not my words. May your name be glorified in our midst this morning, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so let's turn to Psalm 27. And let's read the whole chapter for Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an enemy besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above my enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Saviour. Though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart. Wait for the Lord. Well, the first verse of this psalm starts off with, the Lord is my light and my salvation. And at this time of the year, with Hanukkah and various other things, we're celebrating with lights or Christmas tree lights or whatever. But it says here in the psalmist says, the Lord is my light and salvation. Of course, the festival of lights, which is Hanukkah, which is commemorating the recovery of Jerusalem. But he asserts here the dedication of the second temple, the nine candles are lit on the menorah of Hanukkah. There is a unique candle called the Shemesh, which in Hebrew means the attendant. And each night, one of these additional candles is lit by this candle until all eight candles are lit together on the final night of the festival. And the festival includes giving of gifts, of eating of nice food, and celebrations. I think this year it started around the 28th of November and ends around the 5th of December, so it's already gone. And Jesus says here, I am the light of the world. So light is very important in Scripture. Now, we don't know directly what David's situation was here. But we can see that it was in a time of distress, a time when David was surrounded by his enemies and was in great danger. He needed to be rescued. He was desperate. And we might not be in such a danger this morning, but things can soon change in our lives as we wait for the return of Christ. And Paul reminds us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, he reminds us not to give up the meeting together as some are in the habit of doing so, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. We need to meet together to encourage one another and to share with one another, more so as we see the day approaching. This psalm, F.B. Meyer entitles it, "The Song of the Fearless, of Fearless Trust in God." And here in the psalm with David, who is believed to be the author, in Psalm 20, in the verse first, "The Lord is my light and salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid?" So here's David, in danger. He knows that his confidence is in God and in God alone. He could be confident because he's seen and known how God has acted in his personal experience in times past, and he knew that God would deliver him out of the situation he was facing. And so he asserts, right at the beginning, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" In this age, in this day which we're living in, people are motivated largely by fear. Fear of the COVID situation, fear of what might happen economically and financially to this country, fear of whether there'll be an invasion from Russia into Ukraine, fear whether there'll be a catastrophic war that will affect everyone and diversely affect everyone in the future, or just fearful about what might happen tomorrow. Fear. He says here, "I will not fear." And we don't need to fear this morning. What is that we know, and we are encouraged this morning to put our trust, as David, and our confidence in God, knowing that, as it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those that are called to His according to His purpose. Why do we fear? Well, there are many reasons why we fear. But we are encouraged this morning, as in David here, to put our trust in the Lord. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. And in the King James, it uses the word strength. And the meaning in the Hebrew is used as speaking of a fortified place or a position, a fortress, a safe place. "Of whom shall I fear?" he says. He's saying, he's asserting that because God is sovereign and because I have seen God's hand deliver me so many times before in the past, I have confidence that no matter what happens, God will act on my behalf and in my interests, and that no one could harm him. Now, of course, light signifies many things, as we said this morning. It signifies joy. It signifies understanding. In Psalm 18, verse 28 to 31, let's just turn to that, shall we? Psalm 18, verse 28 to 31. And it says there, "You, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. With your help, I can advance against the troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. As for God, his ways are perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. For God is God besides the Lord. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God?" Confidence in God that what he says he will do. He says in Psalm 27 verses 2 to 3, when the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. Now this isn't some wishful thinking or some fantasy or some just denying the situation that David was in. How could David have this confidence in his God? The answer is quite simple, but yet so profoundly difficult for a lot of us. The answer for David was that he knew what it was to commune with God, to commune with his God. He wanted to be in a place, in that place of constant communion with God, to speak to him, to be in that place where God was. He says there in verse 4, one thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe. In his dwelling he will hide me, in the shelter of his tabernacle, and set me on high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above my enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Notice there, it's not, I will praise the Lord. It says, shouts of joy. That psalm which Esme read out earlier this morning was speaking of David's longing for the house of God. And where it says there, and I'll just bring the verse up if it works this way on my computer. It says, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of Jehovah. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. That was David's desire. He desired to be in that communion with God, and we need to be in that place of communion with God that brings, and it is that communion with God that brings us the security that we need in this day and age. We have only one hope. We have only one hope, and that is Jesus Christ this morning. And we have only one person that can bring us peace and security in the midst of trial and problems, and that is Jesus Christ. David loved being in God's presence, to gaze at his beauty, to seek to worship him in his temple. He knew that when trouble came, and it did come, and distress came to him, he knew that God would hide him and keep him safe. We can have this same confidence, but it requires that we surrender everything and all that we are to God. Everything to Jesus, and to place ourselves at his disposal. There is nothing too hard for God. There is nothing that God cannot do. And there is nothing that is beyond his reach or power or beyond our problems or situations or trials or traumas this morning. He holds the key to the future. And because of that, we can be confident this morning and secure this morning in that. It's not theoretical knowledge that David had. It was experiential. He was in the situation and had been in the situation before. And as we read in verse 2, when the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. And in the Hebrew, it's very strong on these words. When they came to eat my flesh. And what David is saying is, if it had not been for the Lord's deliverance, I would have been killed or fallen. But we read instead the victory there. We read they stumbled, his enemies stumbled and fell. Good news for us this morning. If we're living for Christ, and if we've surrendered our everything to him, that we placed our lives into his care, there is nothing, anyone or anything can take that away this morning. What we have in Christ is worth more than than anything that the world can ever offer us in its whatever it is. We have people that stand up and say, this will make you happy. This will bring you joy. This will bring you peace. You need extra technology. You need to buy the latest piece of equipment. You need to buy the latest gadget so that it will transform your life and you'll never be the same again. Only to find that in a year's time, oh, that didn't work. I need another fix. But with Jesus in our hearts and Jesus in our lives, that no one can ever take away. Yes, we might lose physical possessions. We don't know what the future is, do we? We might lose financially. We might lose our homes. We might be on the street in need of help. But when we've surrendered our all, if we truly, and this is the hard bit, and we're all struggling with it, when we just surrender everything to Jesus, we haven't got anything to lose. Really, have we? If we really lost everything, because all that we have, He's given us anyway. So if the world takes everything away from us, as it did in Job, and I pray it doesn't happen, but if it should happen, then we know and can be confident that if we surrendered it all to Christ first, and that all that He has, all that He's given us belongs to Him, taking it away, we still have Jesus. And that's worth more than anything. David says in verse 6, "Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me." You know, this guy is amazing, isn't he? How he could be, you know, in such dire situations where he can't go forward or he can't go back, he can't go left, he can't go right. He's surrounded by an encampment of people who are snagging their feet, looking for a foothold to get this guy. And David says in confidence, "Then my head will be exalted above my enemies who surround me. At His tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy." I've not got my eye on these people. I've got my eye on the tabernacle in the presence of the Lord to commune with Him, to be with Him. "I will sacrifice," he says, "I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord." Not just, "I will sound joyful. I will lift up my voice." He says, "I will shout of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord." Here's David's desire, to be in that tabernacle worshipping God in that time, to sing His praises, to make music to God in the midst of danger. Paul and Silas, when they were in prison, had a similar situation. They were singing at midnight praises to God and worshipping God. The dramatic happened. And we read the story and we see that the jail bars opened and they were able to get out. And then we read later that the jailer and his family were saved, came to Christ. So who knows? We don't know. In the midst of danger, it might be the last thing we ever think of doing is praising God. But God, this is what David did, and this is what we should do. In the midst of danger, we sing praises to God and make music to His God in the midst of danger. When our enemies, as they might think of, or if an army are pursuing you to eat your flesh or kill you, that's pretty strong, isn't it? When it says there that enemies are pursuing you or pursuing me to eat your flesh or kill you. These guys were really out to do damage to David. But he didn't focus his attention on the situation. His David's priority here, as we see, was he fixed his eyes on Jesus, on God, and not the situation. And if we focus when we have trials and tribulations and troubles and traumas and things that happen, and we don't know what the future is, if we focus on the situation, on that mount up to become greater, then we will, and not on God, who will take us away from it or take us through it, then we'll have failed only failure can happen. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 to 3 says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Fixing our eyes upon Jesus. And that can be very difficult. It can be very difficult when we're in a time of testing, or a time of trial, or a time of danger, or a time of fear. If we let fear grip us, then our eyes will not be fixed upon Christ, upon God. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before us endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Fixing our eyes upon him. Jesus, when he went to the cross, had his eyes upon the greater act of the Father, and he was obedient to that. Now David makes his request here in verse 7. "Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, will I seek. Do not hide your face from me, and do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Saviour." So David is pleading with God regarding his situation. He knew it was real. He didn't try to escape it. He didn't try to run away from it. And he's pleading with God regarding his situation. He says, "You have been my helper." He didn't bring in a team of consultants and defense security analysts to find out how the best solution is to get out of this situation. He goes straight to God. And he pleads with God, "Do not hide your face from me. Do not reject me." David then recalls or reminds God what he has already done. "You have been my helper in the past." He knows that God will not forsake him. Because he says there in verse 10, "Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me." So when tragedy strikes and our world is turning upside down, and it is, and we all know it, God hasn't forsaken us and will not forsake us. And in our trauma, in our trials, in our situation that lies ahead, and we don't know what 2021, 2022 will be, but we need to know that God hasn't forsaken us and he's right beside us this morning. And will always help when we call upon his name and allow him to work through us. And David pours out his heart to God in verse 11. Look at that. "Teach me your way, O Lord." You can see David's heart here, can't you? It wasn't, you know, "I'm going to be victorious here and this is going to be fantastic." He's humble before the Lord. He's pleading with God. And now in verse 11 he says, "Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes. For false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence." And in Psalm 25, verse 4 to 5, he says, again, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are my God, your God, my Saviour, and my hope is in you all day long." So he's earnestly asking and seeking God what he should do. "Show me. Lead me. What am I to do?" David of all wanted to do the right thing. That's why he was talking to God. And not looking at the situation or bringing in a whole hurry of people to advise him. He wanted to do the right thing for God. What God wanted in the situation, not what he wanted. to act not speedily and hastily, but wisely. He was faced with opposition, his oppressors, we read here, or enemies, and he knew there was no hope. He was done for, unless God showed him what to do. They are harsh and cruel, it's expressed here, these people, and they sought his destruction. Described there in verse 12b, false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. You see, they laid traps for David. They said things about him that were false to destroy his name and his life. They were persecuting him, in effect, as if he was already guilty, rather than being tried properly. Rather like social media today. Guilty before proven innocent. Charged him with crimes he never committed. And we know, of course, the story of Saul and of Tarsus. Before he became a Christian, he also persecuted his disciples, early disciples. And if we just turn over to Acts chapter 1, that's chapter 9. Look over there. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 3. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 3. But Saul, yet breathing threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and asked him letters to Damascus unto the synagogues, that he had found any who were of the way, whether men, women, he might bring them to be bound in Jerusalem. And as they journeyed, it came to pass that he drew nigh unto Damascus, and suddenly there shone around him a bright light out of heaven. And he fell upon the earth, and heard the voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And so it goes on. And that's how wonderful the Lord reveals himself. And then we know the story as we go on about Paul, how he was transformed and became to Christ. Meanwhile, Saul was breathing out these murderous threats against the Christians, against the Lord's disciples. And he goes to the high priest and he asked him for letters to the synagogue in Damascus so he could find out those that belonged to the way, those that were disciples of Christ, and so he could persecute them and put them in prison. But then God stepped in. And God always steps in and talks with Saul in that dramatic way, on that vision, on that road. Why persecute? Why are you persecuting me? And then we know as it goes on. And Paul, we know, faced many situations. And he faced false accusations. And he faced violence. And he faced imprisonment. Being shipwrecked. More than probably ever we would ever experience in our Christian life and walk in Christ. And we know that those who oppose God and his word, and we know, we should expect no different, really. If we've surrendered our lives to Christ, we will face opposition, and we are going to face opposition. But we know that the Lord is with us, and that we will have the victory in him. Knowing, as David and Paul, that God is sovereign and is working out his will in and through us. God is sovereign this morning. He says in verse 13, going back into our passage this morning in Psalm 27, I am still confident of this. He says, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Young's literal translation version gives, I had not believed to look on the goodness of Jehovah in the land of the living. Others render in italics in your Bible, I had fainted. In other words, I believe I have, and I have confidence that I will see this happen in my lifetime. That I will see the goodness of God. I will see the blessing. And so he encourages himself in this. When he concludes the end verses, he encourages himself, therefore I can wait. To wait upon the Lord to do it. And if we look at a similar passage over in Job chapter 19, Job says a similar thing in verses 25 to 27, where he writes these words, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me." Most of us will never go through what Job went through. But he says, "I know my Redeemer lives, and I will see him on that day." So here David encourages himself. And he says, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." So David was now confident to wait for God's deliverance, that he will survive the situation and come out alive from it. Because of the Lord, by his divine power, would do it. No one else could do it, only by the Lord himself. We take this morning as a really good example of how we should be, all of us should be, as we find ourselves in different situations and problems as we go on in the new year and through this the remainder of this year. And we may have that same faith that David had and Paul had, that no matter what, I will trust in the Lord. We should meditate, I think, on these verses that we have before us and make it our response and our determination to put and to surrender, and this is not the easy bit, this is the hardest bit, to surrender everything that we are, everything that we ever will be, everything that we have, and put it into God's hands. And to determination to keep doing that, and to focus our attention upon him, to fix our eyes, it says, fix our eyes in that Hebrews chapter, fix our eyes upon him who is the hope, is our hope, and our response to that should be that way. To trust him to bring us through our situations so that his name will be glorified. We might not find that the answer is what we want, or that he doesn't deliver us immediately, or that he doesn't deliver us in the way that we expect, or he may bring us through the situation rather than take us out of it. But our priority is not my will, but thy will be done. And if our hearts are surrendered to God, that will be the response that we have. You see, it's that he might be glorified in our situation, through our problems, our traumas, or as in David's situation, facing a load of enemies at him. It's that he might be glorified, not what I want, but that his name might be glorified. Pray that it's our hearts this morning that we will all do that, and that we can proclaim him to be sovereign over our lives. Amen. Let's just pray. Lord, these are hard words to our hearts this morning, because we know that, Lord, it's not, you're not calling us to have a pretend service for you, to serve you, to pretend to serve you, to pretend to follow you. But Lord, you call us to commit our whole lives and our whole hearts before you, that you might be sovereign over everything. That we won't pass a moment in the day or the night that we say, "Oh Lord, you are sovereign over everything, and I place everything into your hands." Lord, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for David's experience. We thank you that we have these examples for us this morning in your word. And Lord, the example of Job, who went through many, many things, but could say at the end, I know my Redeemer lives. And Lord, this morning we pray that we may grow ever closer to you, that in this time of uncertainty, that we may all, with a greater desire and a greater fervency, seek your face and seek to live for you, for your glory and honour. We ask it in Jesus' name. Help us, we pray this morning, to do these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. May God bless you.